Hello, everyone. Welcome to Moms Talk Autism. Today, we are having a little tête-à-tête with Shannon and Brittany.
When you become a mom, you never imagine your child getting an autism diagnosis. It feels like your dreams have shattered, like a framed photograph falling off your mantle, exploding into a thousand pieces. But instead of trying to glue those pieces back together, this community of moms is here to help you build a new dream, a better one. So join in the conversation as us moms talk autism.
All right, welcome back. Like I said, I am Brittany and I have the beautiful Shannon with me this morning. Looking gorgeous as always.
Hello. It's because I showered today. You're welcome.
She showered everyone.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
It happens sometimes.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I will hopefully be following in your footsteps and showering later today myself after I work out, right? That's the key. So we are here today, just the two of us. Jean is very ill. Mm-hmm. Well, not very ill. She's coming out of it. But sometimes when you're coming out of it, you sound worse. That's like when you sound the worst, right?
Yes.
And today she got on fully intending to record with us. And we had to say, Jean, you sound like an alien robot who's trying to do auto-tunes. That's what she sounded like. It was pretty bad. She was coughing a lot. So we said, no. And she agreed. She's like, no, I need to rest. I need to take a day. So we will hopefully have her on soon. And our Toshi Tosh is traveling today and seeing her sister. So shout out to Nicole. We call her Coley sometimes.
Toshi and Coley.
Hope they're having so much fun together. So you're stuck with us today, everybody. And we're going to get into it. We're going to have a tough conversation today, a good conversation, hopefully, and something that the intention, right? So here's the intent of this conversation. It's not to make anyone feel bad. It's not to discourage you. It's not to make you feel bad for us necessarily, or to freak you out so bad that you're just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I quit. Right? None of that's supposed to be happening. What we want to do is connect with you. We want you to feel like you're not alone. We want you to understand and maybe feel more comfortable with us and know that we are right there with you. We might not be in the same boat, but we are rowing our boats next to you on this crazy river of life with kids with special needs. So that's where we're at today. We're going to be talking about struggles. Some current struggles, or maybe some struggles that we've had within, you know, the recent past that we've been trying to work with our families and our kids. We may not go into every little detail because, you know, we are private citizens and there's other people involved as well who maybe don't want their whole life story on a podcast when they're not here to defend themselves. But we will be talking about mostly about the kids in our families and some of the current struggles that we're having. So I've got two kids with autism. Shannon has one. I'll start with one and then maybe we'll flip to you and then I'll finish up with my other one. That way it's a little back and forth.
How does that sound? Let's do it. Let's go.
It's not just me talking the whole time because I've got two. So Austin is 17. He is non-speaking. If you use some of the old verbiage of bygone years, he would be considered severe or, you know, on the needing a lot of higher support in his care and daily life. And one of those issues that we have is dental visits, right? We've talked about this before. Austin has a real problem with dentists. Many of us do. With just the sensory overload that it entails. It makes him very nervous, any doctor situation, and especially having to sit in a chair, open your mouth, and have people poke around in there and scrape stuff and put nasty tasting things in there. I mean, he's just not going to do any of it. He won't even sit in the chair. Mm-hmm. I can get him into the office, luckily, and we have a wonderful dentist who's had some additional special needs training in his career and his education that's made him a good fit for us and helping Austin. We do a lot of what they consider happy visits, and those where you just go and you just hang out and you sit in the chair and you just get to walk around, you touch stuff, you look at things. You're not really getting a dental cleaning. I mean, great if you can, but there's no pressure to do that.
There's no intent.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just to get comfortable in the space, the physical space. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing that for a long time. And this last summer, the dentist was just like, you know, we're just not really making a whole lot of progress. And if I had a dollar for every time I had a therapist or a professional tell me that phrase with my son, I would be rich. So we decided to schedule a sedated dental cleaning and, you know, just dental care visit. We've done these before. I believe this is our third or fourth one, but our first one at this office. So we schedule that. You have to get an anesthesiologist in. None of these extra services are covered by any kind of insurance.
Of course.
So it's very expensive, and therefore, and it's not necessary to do it every 6 months like you would a normal dental cleaning, but it needs to be done, you know, we settled on every 3 to 4 years for mm-hmm. Austin to do this. And it does depend on how their own, you know, their teeth and how they're doing in general. So well, it's not the same for everybody.
I bet too, because they're sedated, they can do it. It's more in depth, right? So
correct.
Like it's a deeper clean, so you can wait a little bit longer.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of factors involved in that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how old they are and yeah, all sorts of things. So, So we were able to schedule this. We're going to do another one in 3 to 4 years, unless mm-hmm. we notice something come up in the meantime. We had to bring him in. Doug and I both took him in together. We had to get him into the room, into the back room. The dental office is completely empty. We were the only ones there. They do that on purpose. And they have a private room in the back. And he went into the room. He noticed there were other people there and extra equipment, and he was not about it. We had to force him into the chair. Four grown adults, all who were either the same size or larger than him, except for me. I'm smaller than him, but everyone else was Austin size or larger. And we pinned him down to put the mask on his face in order to get him to, you know, fall asleep. And then they can put in the IV and all those things. If he wouldn't have been compliant with that, there was another option for a shot that we could have gotten into his arm. But that one takes longer to come out of, and you're a little bit more grumpy and groggy. So that's not first choice, obviously. We were able to do it. The hardest part of this whole experience for me was leaning over his chest. I was holding his arms and leaning. I wanted him to see my face as he fell asleep. I wanted him, oh my gosh, I'm going to start crying already.
I know.
I wanted him to be able to see me and know that he was okay. As much as, you know, one can in that situation.
Yeah.
And so I made eye contact with him and tried as the doctor had, you know, the little oxygen mask thing on his face. Mm-hmm. And we're counting down, and you know, it only took 30 seconds. It wasn't a long time, but
it's devastating.
I could see it in his eyes. He was looking at me like, you know,
why? Yeah,
how
why
could you do this to me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I felt terrible. I felt terrible. But knowing it was necessary, right? These are those hard mom and dad decisions we have to make. Mm-hmm. This is for your own good, I promise. This mm-hmm. is going to be okay. You're going to be all right. Mm-hmm. And I just talked to him as he fell asleep, and he did. And like I said, 30 seconds, we were out. We got him comfortable on the chair. The doctor went over again what they were going to do, and then they kick you out. They don't want to see, you know, they don't want you in there. A lot of parents probably can't handle
yeah
all that other stuff they do, putting in the IVs and probably taping his eyelids down, and I don't know what else they do. We left. We went out into the hall. Doug is the bedrock of our relationship and is always as cool as a cucumber, and was just like, cool, I'm going to get some work done. He's on his phone. He's doing the thing. I'm pacing because mm-hmm. I've just had this traumatic eye contact with my child who thinks I've betrayed himself. So I went over across the street to Target and got myself a drink.
Retail therapy.
Yes. And bought a couple of things. And quickly, they Doug texted me and said they were done. I was surprised. I hadn't even checked out yet. So it was pretty fast, which is, you know, I'm thinking in the back of my head, this is a good sign because we haven't been able to properly brush this kid's teeth in many, many years. So getting back over, and we had the best news, the best possible outcome. They were able to do everything, x-rays, the whole deal, full, really thorough examination. Austin's 17 years old. He has not had a dental exam, x-rays, or cleaning in 8 years. He had no cavities, you guys. None.
So amazing.
It's like, I keep saying it and I still don't believe it.
Right. That's amazing.
He had no cavities. And the big concern we had was wisdom teeth, right? Mm-hmm. My kids get their teeth pretty early. So I assumed they were coming in soon or starting to come in. Mm-hmm. His wisdom teeth are almost completely in. They are coming in straight. They are not shifting any of his other teeth, and there is room for them to stay. So he does not have to have his wisdom teeth removed.
Praise God. Do you think maybe the fact that they're in, I wonder, I mean, it's not comfortable when those teeth come in. Like I still remember from high school, like I wonder maybe some of his harder days, if there was something to do with that.
I think you're absolutely right. I'm sure there was. I don't know when they started coming in. Probably last year sometime.
Probably. Yeah. And what a blessing, though.
I mean, who would have thought, you're 16. Man, you're having a really bad day. Maybe your wisdom teeth are coming in.
I wouldn't have thought it.
I wouldn't have.
And, you know, Brittany got on Marco and let us know about the appointment. And what's so interesting is, like, I had not even considered Gracie and wisdom teeth. It had not even crossed my mind because I'm still very stuck at Gracie puberty and periods. I can't.
Let's just focus on that. First.
Yeah. But I was thinking about Maya because she just had her wisdom teeth out, and the care and the recovery and, you know, having to use that little, you know, thing that shoots water into the, you know, to make sure they're clean and you don't get dry sockets. I cannot even imagine having to do that with Austin or Gracie. Like what a blessing.
Or even Ruby, like even someone when they are verbal or they can communicate, like Gracie and Ruby can, like, we're going to box that up and we're going to set it aside and we're going to open that box up later.
Well, for you and I after puberty and periods.
Let's get through that first. But yes, these are the kinds of things that are coming up as I'm hearing the word transition a lot this year for Austin. And it is a transition year.
Yeah.
He is 17. He's going to be 18 at the end of 2024. There's a lot of transitions coming. There's dental visits. There's all these adult things that a typical 17 going to 18 year old would be experiencing right now. And we are not going to be experiencing those things with Austin. We've got our own transitions and his own unique way of going into adulthood. And they are completely uncharted waters for me as a parent and as a person. I do not know anybody necessarily who's gone through these things in my own personal life. I do have friends now that have children that are a little bit older than my son, and I am picking their brains. And I guess that's the next part that I want to focus on with Austin, is I've been meeting with some of my friends who have been doing the process, legal process of doing a conservatorship for their children as they transition to adulthood. And this is important because as they become 18, there are certain aspects of their lives that you will no longer have access to legally. Just automatically, that's how it works. So we need to get those things taken care of. We need to get Austin on Social Security. I need to be able to continue to have access to all of his medical records. I do right now, but that will change as he moves on to adult life. I need to make sure that he is not considered for jury duty or drafted into the army, that's not applicable to him. Things like that, right? Mm-hmm. And we started getting things in the mail, and we need to, like, it's hard. It's hard to start getting, like, college, you know, registration letters for my child who is not going to college, at least not any kind of program that would be considered a typical 4-year, you know, university institution. So it's all it can be very heavy at times. So the word for me this year is transitions. and trying to make them as smooth as possible for myself and my family and for Austin, of course, especially. Mm-hmm. So I will be talking about that more. I imagine we'll have a couple of episodes this year where I kind of give updates on conservatorship. I'm just starting that process. We are going to be hiring a paralegal or a lawyer to help us with that. Every state does it differently, but for California, that seems to be the best option. It's definitely worth my money. It's not cheap, but from what I'm hearing of those who have done it on their own versus someone who has hired a professional to handle the paperwork side of things and to make sure all of your boxes are checked, that's very important to me as far as my stress levels and the amount of time I can spend on something like this. So we're going to hire somebody to help us and we're going to make sure we do it correctly the right way the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not stuff. Really something you want to have errors in.
Not really. Not my jam. The culmination of a conservatorship, at least in California, I'm assuming everywhere in the U.S. at least, is you have a court date and a judge has to declare the conservatorship legal and, you know, he initiates the process of, yes, okay, on this date, this is when it starts. And we have to take Austin down to a courtroom and a judge needs to actually see him. So that is going to be very, very interesting and difficult. And I imagine not only will Doug and I be there, but we might even have additional people with us. We're going to gather the troops, let's say. And it's not a big deal. It's very obvious. Other friends who have done similar things with kids that are similar to Austin. It's not like it's you're on trial or but you have to follow the protocol. So, that's coming up in our future. So, those are two big Austin struggles or things that are on my mind. I guess even though the dental situation was ultimately a very positive and you know, he came out of the anesthesia. He recovered fairly quickly. He took a little nap during the day. I was able to spend some time decompressing at that time. And then he got up and he ate and he's doing great. I mean, he didn't have any dental work done. So he wasn't even sore in his mouth or anything. You know, he just had a cleaning and x-rays. So overall, it could not have gone better considering the situation. But it is still mentally taxing. And I was exhausted for a couple of days after that, even though nothing really, you know, quote, bad happened. I just want to acknowledge that and let people know that if you're having these kind of heavier doctor's appointments or therapy sessions or, you know, an IEP that's really stressing you out, it's okay to take some time, however you can and in whatever way you can, and just know that it's normal for you to maybe feel physically, mentally exhausted.
Yeah.
It's okay. And we want to talk a little bit, maybe a future episode about that. What was the phrase Jean used today when we talked about it? It was
decision fatigue.
Decision fatigue.
Yeah.
I think that's a fabulous episode topic and we'll be covering that hopefully in the near future. So,
yeah. All right. I think too, like by the time this one goes, Kelly will have been on. You know, we had Kelly Coleman on and I believe the term that she used was the cognitive load. Is that what she said on that?
You know what? I have my notes right here. Excuse me. paper, cognitive labor.
Cognitive labor. Okay. Yeah. And I think, you know, we also have to do that with Gracie. Like for instance, you know, we all came down with the flu a few weeks ago and Gracie ended up getting really, really sick from the flu. She ended up fainting in the kitchen and we had to take her into the hospital and, you know, she had to get an IV and there is no way that girl is going to let you put an IV. She had one traumatic experience at a lab getting blood work at probably the age of 3. And there is just something about having to hold down your own child in instances like that where, I mean, she had to get an IV. She had to get fluids. She had to get sugar. It was not a choice.
Not an option.
Yeah, it was not a choice because I know that there are some people that, you know, preach autonomy and like all of these other things. Well, in certain circumstances, you just have to do what you have to do. And there is something heartbreaking about, you know, being your child's protector and that turning into having to, you know, pin your child down in doing something that you know is for, you know, the greater good, but also in the moment is
It's painful. Yeah.
Horrifying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I don't blame you at all. I know that feeling very well. Jay even, you know, struggles with that a lot. Going to doctor's appointments and being the strong one, right? Who can,
right.
Cause Gracie's little, but man, she's strong. Like that girl. I mean, I'm only 5'2", so she's quite strong.
She's wiry and strong. Yeah,
she is. You know?
Well, and Jay's in the medical profession. This is mm-hmm. his job to deal with, you know, heightened medical emergencies. Mm-hmm. But yet it's difficult for him too.
It is when it's your little person that you created, right? And mm-hmm. there's emotion attached to it. Whereas, you know, if it's a patient, there's not that emotional attachment there, you know. So it's exhausting, and the recovery time. And the crazy thing is that most of us really don't get time to recover from it. We may get an hour walking around Target, right, but it's usually pretty back to real life, and we have other kids and we have other problems. So I definitely do just want to acknowledge that. I feel like sometimes the exhaustion that we all feel is, I think at least I can only speak for myself. I give myself such a hard time when I feel exhausted.
Yeah, me too.
Like, why? Why do you feel exhausted? What have you really done today? What have you accomplished? Life.
Yeah.
I have accomplished life today.
Like, let's just, we survived.
Yeah.
Gold star.
Let's just be real, you know? Let's just be real. Yeah. That's tough, man. You know, and if I can be honest, it's funny because we've talked about like different struggles, but I feel like my biggest struggle right now, other than my stomach growling in the background, which hopefully because I have my echo cancellation on, no one can hear at the moment. I am in a place right now where I feel like I have a little bit, I think I'm like in my little grief cycle.
Let's dive in. Tell me about
where
it.
I am just wishing things were easier.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish, you know, on my birthday, I went to this place in Tucson that's called Corbett's. It's really cool. It's like a beer garden. They have a restaurant and a bar, and they have pickleball courts that you can rent out by the hour. So just like, it's a really cool place. They have this huge outdoor area with turf and cafe lights, and it's just super fun. Music. And we went with friends and we had a blast. And our friends were telling us how they had come a couple weeks ago with another family who had kids, and like they ate dinner and they played pickleball, and like the kids were, you know, catching all the rebounds, because when you're not good at pickleball, the ball goes everywhere. And, you know, the kids were rebounding and catching the balls and bringing them back. And like, I mean, I still had a wonderful time. We had a blast while we were there. But it was just, you know, it was like a realization of like, that is not something that we can do, right? There is no way that we could bring Gracie to this place and be able to enjoy time with friends and be able to actually play pickleball, you know? And it's just, it's things like that, you know?
Grief's a funny thing. It hits you at very, very odd times. And it seems to hit me, and I think I can speak for you too, mm-hmm. on those moments when you do have your guard down a little bit, when you mm-hmm. are trying to relax and enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
When maybe you're not looking for it and your eyes aren't darting around, you know, checking, mm-hmm. waiting for something to hit you sideways. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it's bam.
Yeah.
And it's in your face and you're realizing, I will never have this, or I will not have this right now, mm-hmm. at the very least, right? This is not a reality that I can experience mm-hmm. today with my child.
Yeah.
And it washes over you sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think that's something that we're all getting better at. And one of the reasons why we have this podcast and we have each other on our own little private chats is when those moments do hit, mm-hmm. part of that processing is talking about it.
Yeah.
With each other.
Yeah.
I think it helps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think there's just been like a couple things lately, you know, mm-hmm. and like I had posted about, I don't know if I posted on Moms Talk Autism, maybe I'll do that today, about Gracie. You know, I signed her up for soccer, and it's an AYSO league. It's epic. I think it stands for Everyone Plays in Community. I think it's like a special needs division of AYSO. And I wanted to give her the opportunity to try something new. And we went the first week. And I mean, don't get me wrong. It was like, for me, it was a win. We stayed for 30 out of the 60 minutes. Somewhat participated.
She kept her shin guards on.
She kept her shin guards on. I mean, she kept her clothes on. I mean, go one above.
Exactly.
And so that was a win. But then there was also, I had to be engaged the entire time. I had to be with her the entire time. I could not step away. And even though the team is made up of kids who have all different disabilities, and it's a pretty wide age group too, mm-hmm. in this division, I was the only mom there who had to be engaged the entire time.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of one of those things where it's like, oh gosh, I'm so happy. Like, we lasted 30 minutes. It was longer than I thought we were going to last. It took 2 bags of fruit snacks. And I'm fine with that. Like, whatever. I love bribery.
Not at all.
I prefer to call it reinforcement. And I left stoked. She decided she was done. We left because I'm like, I'm not torturing you. I'm not making you stay here because it's going to make you not want to come back. Mm-hmm. But there still was that just feeling of, like, what would it even be like to just be able to watch my daughter play soccer for an hour?
Yeah. When you say that she was ready to go, what did that look like? What did she do?
Well, Gracie always is very, she struggles focusing on things that are not her preferred activity, right? So even just keeping her in the activity, if she is not 100% motivated, is very difficult. And one of Gracie's things is when she is done, she is done.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very obvious whether she just walks off the field and refuses to come back, or she will verbally let you know that she, is through and she mm-hmm. does not want to do this anymore. And that was fine.
Will she just like sit down in the middle of grass and she's like, I'm good?
No, she'll take off.
She'll just leave.
Remove herself. Yeah. And that's what she did. She was like, nope, I'm done. I'm not getting back on the field. I'm going to this picnic table. We are going to sit down and drink some water.
Got it.
And I asked, are you all done? And she was like, all done soccer, I was like, all right, let's go. We can be done. And that was fine. Yeah. And that was fine.
Good communicating.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, that was a blessing. So it's things like that that seem like simple and insignificant, right? Especially when it's attached to a win, like the soccer was a win,
it's not black and white.
No,
it's not all bad or all good.
Yeah. No, it's, it's really not. So in that, let me be clear, that's not a Gracie struggle. That's a Shannon struggle, right? Mm-hmm. Like that is a me thing that I'm struggling with. And I'm at least far enough in this journey where I can be aware of that and I can be okay with that. And I'm not going to make myself feel guilty about it like I probably would have in the beginning, where I would have kind of come down on myself for like, what, do you think your daughter's not enough? No, she's absolutely enough. My daughter's absolutely amazing. I can still struggle with my emotions though, and how I feel about certain things, and that's okay. And I'm blessed to be that far along, because, 4 years ago, I wouldn't have allowed myself, the ability to have those feelings without guilt associated with them.
I think that's the beautiful thing about experience and time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that beautiful word aging that we mm-hmm. have all experienced, these wrinkles are earned, and Amen. It's because of these experiences. And if you are just starting out, if mm-hmm. this is all pretty new to you and these situations happen and you're just gutted, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've done that. We've been there too.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that that can't happen again to us, but mm-hmm. there is a resiliency that can manifest itself. You will get stronger. You will be able to, I don't know if bounce back is the right word, but mm-hmm. recover maybe. It's still going to hit you, but you're getting stronger too. It's a muscle.
It's not resiliency. Debilitating anymore.
Right. Right. Yeah. It isn't necessarily every time, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be able to process it and move on. Maybe not even faster, but it's not going to just devastate you like it has in the past. Mm-hmm. You're going to build up your armor. You are. I promise you that. Just keep trying. Love that girl. I'm so glad to hear that she's enjoying soccer at least a little bit. Are you guys going this weekend too?
We are going to go back, and we'll last as long as we last. And I will say the one thing that I enjoyed was there was no pressure from the coaching staff, right? I walked up to the coach and I said, we made it 24 minutes and she's done. And he said, she did fantastic. And I said, cool. See you next week. There was no pressure to stay longer. There was no, you know, Gracie, like, are you sure? Like, come on, let's go do this. Because that does not work with Gracie. That is not getting her back in the circle, you know? So let's be clear. And so that was very nice because it was like, okay, everybody here is meeting her where she's at. Right. Which is great.
Huge.
So we'll see, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Let us give us a report later on social media.
I shall report back.
Very good. Okay. Well, I'll transition into Ruby a little bit here. So Ruby is 9. She'll be 10 soon, as I am reminded daily of when her birthday is and how many days it is and what we're going to do for her birthday. So she loves a holiday, that girl, and she loves a birthday. So she's very excited. And we have been struggling with Ruby. It's that what we alluded to earlier. We are heading into that kind of prepubescent time of her life. She is starting to become more emotional, as any 9-year-old turning 10 is allowed and is their right to do. That this is completely normal
hormones.
Developmentally. Hormones. That's how it is. And, It's been a struggle for me as someone who is typically not very emotional. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I was at that age, but I don't remember being emotional very much. I don't know. Maybe talk to Mama Kay about that. Yeah. Maybe we should get her on. She can tell you all the stories about when I was that age. But it's been eye-opening to me to watch her. I can almost see it on her face where I can tell she's starting to get upset. She doesn't know why she's feeling so emotional about something that's very trivial, like maybe spilling a glass of water accidentally, right? But it's affecting her at a heightened emotional state where she's starting to maybe cry or I don't know, just very frustrated. What happens for Ruby, and I think many of our kids, when they have a heightened emotional state of whatever that emotion is, the language drops very quickly. The communication, the ability to communicate is affected quite heavily. And so her ability to communicate effectively or in a way that she, even just being able to get the words out, her expressive language is hindered in those situations. And I think a lot of us are that way. When you get really mad, you're not your most articulate. You're going to kind of stumble over your words or, you know, maybe say something silly or not form a complete sentence. It's quite drastic for her. So she resorts to, you know, phrases or single words. And what I end up doing is offering her a lot of choices. I'll ask her questions with two options, and then she can just choose from between those two. And she's learned that that's my technique. And so now she's trying to counteract that because she's a smart girl and she doesn't want to tell me what's wrong. She wants to live in her feelings, right? As one is, she's every right to do that. So it's been a struggle trying to get her to work through some of these really heightened emotional states where she doesn't know what's wrong. She doesn't know how to fix it. She wants to, but she's just so in her feelings that she can't process it quickly enough. Mm-hmm. And I think any 9-year-old struggles with that, but there's an extra layer on top of that with the limited communication and just even the heightened sensory that she can feel, right?
Yeah.
So it's just another couple of levels. I had a friend who had Ruby over while Austin was at the dentist. Ruby was at my girlfriend's house, so we didn't have to bring her with us. And we talked about it before, you know, what do I do if she does this? What is she, you know, she was just, she's very mm-hmm. thorough. She's like me. She likes, wants I to love be prepared that. For yeah. all the things. That's why we're best friends. And she was just asking, and she goes, you know, she goes, I've noticed this with Ruby. She goes, she just feels things very deeply. She just feels everything more. And I was like, yeah, I guess that's a good way to say it. I mean, she, not that she's in tune necessarily, but it's just more, right? And that's something I'm going to have to keep in mind as we truly are heading into these puberty years. We probably got a couple more years until it's really, we're like in it. But is to keep that in mind, that she's just feeling things at a heightened state that I wouldn't necessarily feel it at. So I can empathize to a certain point, and then I need to check myself and be like, okay, I'm feeling, if I was in this situation, I would feel this way, but she's probably even feeling it more than that. And then what am I, how am I going to help her or support her in that state? So something to maybe think about for your own situation. I don't know if that applies to you, listener, but just put a pin in that, I guess. And one of the things that's happening with her schedule because of these heightened emotional states, and this isn't happening every day, but it is happening a little bit more frequently than we're used to, is she's refusing to get on the bus to come home in the afternoons. Mm-hmm. And she has an amazing support staff and a teacher at her school, her special day class teacher, who has my personal cell phone number and will call me. And we have strategies. We've talked about it at IEPs. We've had personal conversations. We've had emails trying to figure out what we can do. And we have a whole system, right? And I can't claim credit for 90% of it. It's her amazing teacher. But there are certain incentives that she can have if she will get on the bus. She gets to bring a stuffed animal from the class home for the day and then bring it back the next day on the bus. There's, you know, various little things like that. We've had phone conversations where she's held the phone up to Ruby's ear and I've tried to talk to her. We've role played. We've had social stories, you know, name it. We've tried it, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it works. A lot of times it doesn't. Once she reaches a certain level, she just won't get on the bus. And this all started because a student at her school, who's the same age as her in a general education class, there was a mix up with her pickups one day. And so she decided to walk home instead of talking to a teacher. And no one could find her for a couple of hours. And a police search was sent out. They sent out an alert to all the parents, you know, as when they did all the right protocol things. Turned out she just did her own thing and didn't tell adults, and she was completely safe and fine. It all worked out well. But they talked to the kids about it the next day at school, and Ruby was part of those conversations. The way that the teachers handled it and the way that they spoke to the children was completely appropriate. They weren't mm-hmm. trying to scare anyone, but they just did a little bit of like, okay, so what do we do if your mom isn't there to pick you up? What should you do? Like, they were talking the kids through like steps of what they and it just completely freaked Ruby out. I don't think any of us could anticipate that she would empathize or like take it so deeply into her soul.
Yeah.
These, you know, make-believe role-playing scenarios. And they weren't having the kids get up and role-play like acted out or anything, but they were just hypothetically talking about situations where, what do we do if we don't know where to go and it's the end of the school day? Go talk to a teacher, you know, very yeah. simple stuff that a typical 9-year-old would be able to handle and then move on with her day. But it really, really, struck a chord with her, and she spiraled pretty quick that day. I picked her up from school. We didn't even try to negotiate. I knew she was having a struggle, and this was a big deal. But since then, it's happened a few more times, and I think this is just like resurging anxiety of, if I get on the bus, I'm going to be lost, or I'm not going to make it home. And so that's something we're working through. And it's getting better. Most days she rides the bus just fine and we're doing great, but it is occasionally coming up. So if you're noticing things like that, I've talked to Tosh a little bit about this because Jack and Ruby are they're similar in age, and they seem to have similar anxiety spikes that affect them in a similar way. Yeah. Maybe we can get Tosh to talk about this another time when she's available, but she's noticing, you know, it's not even just because Ruby's a girl, like, I guess that's my point, is Jack mm-hmm. is also experiencing those things. So it's not a gender thing necessarily. It's just a 9-10 year old autistic thing. So anyway, that's where I'm at with her. It's a wild ride. And then you throw on the fact that Ruby and Austin aren't necessarily going to take turns with their struggles, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like they're tagging each other in on WWE into the ring. The days where it is really, really hard and a real struggle is when they're both having these kind of really heightened emotional states. And I have to try to ping pong back and forth on each side of that, you know, pickleball court, the Austin side and the Ruby side, and support both of them. That's when it really can hit anybody. And thankfully I have a wonderful husband and we have other siblings who are there to support. But as we all know, moms seem to get it the most, and that's just the role we play. When your kid is lashing out, as anyone, it's human nature, right? If you're feeling insecure, you're going to lash out to the person that you feel the safest with. And that's mom. So
it is.
It's really hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I'm struggling with that personally, and trying to work through those situations. Shannon just had a birthday. My birthday's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday, Shannon. Thank you. We are decidedly in our 40s now. Let's just say that, right? It's not 40 anymore. We are in our 40s.
Thank you for that.
You're so welcome. Thank you. I'm older than her, so
I would like to point out that I am a year behind everyone else on this podcast. So
she takes every opportunity to remind us, and as is her right.
Yes.
What I'm finding is I was thinking about this last night as I was trying my best to fall asleep, but struggling because it's the only time I can decompress sometimes, right? And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about my life and how I got here. And wondering what is happening to me as I'm entering into my 40s more solidly. And realizing that where I'm trying to take very good care of my body physically. I am having my therapy with my girls on here and with you, our listeners, and on Instagram and in private conversations and with my husband, right? I'm trying to process these things in a healthy way, but also giving myself time and space to do those things. I am finding that certain aspects of my personality if I'm in a certain situation that is reoccurring, that's causing, I don't know if trauma is the right word, or anxiety, right? Or some kind of pain, that my responses and my reactions are crystallizing a little bit. I'm not as malleable as I used to be in some aspects. I'm kind of digging my heels in a little and being an old person. You know what I mean? I'm kind of getting stuck in my ways a little bit. And I'm noticing that. And that's natural. We all do that. We all have that happen as we age. That's life. Trying to get my parents to engage in certain aspects of social media is a problem, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's not their thing. And it's hard to learn stuff as we get older, or to even be interested in learning it. It's just not useful to them. Why would I do this? I've never, you know, and that's fine. They don't need to. That's just a very light example. but we all, this is happening. I can feel it happening. And it's,
at least you're aware.
I'm aware. I'm aware right now. And that's the other
first
part.
Step.
As we get older, we're going to become less and less aware that this is happening. Because that's also life. So I guess I just want to acknowledge that. I don't have a solution. I don't have like some magic pill that's going to make me not age or get stuck in my ways or get grumpy about stuff.
You just wanted to let our community know that you're becoming a crotchety old woman.
Yes. I'm becoming a curmudgeon. Okay. I'm
noted.
I'm curmudgeon Brittany now. It's fine. And you know what? There's some aspects of that that are very freeing. Mm-hmm. And because what happens when you start to crystallize a little is you just don't.
Crystallize.
I'm going to make this pretty, all right? We're going to make this beautiful. Mm-hmm. I'm crystallizing.
Okay.
Yes. But you don't care, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a level of whatever that comes with it. That is, mm-hmm. it is can be freeing. And I am going to embrace that part, but yet try not to like turn into a fossil.
I think you've got a while before you hit the fossil level.
I do. Yeah. I'm exaggerating, but yes. Right. I'm seeing the beginning of the end.
Yes. Oh my God. There's no hope
I was
for
in
you.
My feelings yesterday, okay?
Oh my God.
It came all crashing down. But yeah. But just know, okay, so that's it, right? Like maybe I don't bounce back as fast. Maybe I have to consciously think about, you know what? No. We're going to let this go. You don't need to focus on this. Mm-hmm. Maybe we do need to try to learn a couple of new things, right? I might be the old dog, but I can learn some new tricks and it's going to be fine. And we just need to keep talking about it, I guess, and acknowledging and have those people in your life. These ladies, if I start to do things that are curmudgeonly, they're going to call me out on it, okay? They will. And I will offer them the same courtesy.
Please, please let me know.
I will remember you said that we got that recorded, right? No. But yeah, but that's important. It's important to have those people who will have the real talks with you if you need it. So, and you can do the same to them and feel comfortable, at least, you know, later after they've had time to cool down. But yeah. Anyway, that's it. Anything else, Shannon? Anything you want to add?
You know, I don't think so. I think, you know, I'm becoming a little bit better too at catching myself, realizing when I'm in certain moods, realizing when maybe things are bothering me that like wouldn't normally bother me.
Yes.
I've also become very aware lately that I am overwhelmed easily.
Yes.
And I think that that has affected a lot of things. I have people reach out to me because I used to be like very big on social media and I don't share nearly as much on social media anymore. And I mean, quite transparently and honestly, even on our page, like even on our Instagram page, like
right.
I have noticed just my decrease in being able to show up. And I think that it just has to do with where I feel like I am and the levels of like what I feel like my bandwidth can handle. But then I also do feel like, and I was actually going to talk about this on the Instagram page today. So
let's start it here.
If you're on the page, this is no news to you because I'm going to talk about it later. But I feel like sometimes that's mental. I feel like, yes, like our lives are very overwhelming and we have a million different directions that we're pulled in every single day. But I feel like when you are in a place where you are overwhelmed and exhausted because of the cognitive labor that will I'm going to get that tattooed on me somewhere, Kelly Coleman.
Cross-stitch it. Yep, let's do it.
Cognitive labor. And I almost feel like we can sink into that and we can allow that to be a label and then it's easy to live in it.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that's like crystallizing I'm talking about.
Yeah. And I feel like I've caught myself in that too, where I'm like, okay, but are you really that overwhelmed? Or it's a place like it's this box that you've put yourself in and now you just live there. And I do have the choice to like, leave the box. Like I can make the concerted effort to get out of the box and take little steps, right? So that's kind of like, that's one thing I'm working on, you know?
I guess it all comes back to just self-awareness, right? Like, man, yeah, understanding yourself and being mature enough and having the experience enough to realize I've been here before. Mm-hmm. Do I need to stay here? Can I move on? Mm-hmm. And some of that's out of our control, right? We're not controlling our children as much as we would like to, of course.
Yeah.
but there's outside external forces working on this. So that needs to be taken into the equation as well. But we've done this enough times, right? We've had this issue or this problem or this situation come up enough that maybe we can evaluate things a little bit mm-hmm. more succinctly or better. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Getting old.
Getting old. My favorite is when I talk about these things with my mom or my dad or, you know, older siblings, sister-in-laws and things. And they're like, oh, honey, this is a nothing. And I'm like, thank you so much for the encouragement. No.
You gotta love it. You know, you gotta love it.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? Right. Well,
get out of the box.
Get out of the box. Excellent. Get out of the box. Just try. Try. See if you can. And if you can, do it. Right? We are so grateful that we were able to have this chat with you guys today. We hope this was helpful. Once again, this is about connection and helping you feel seen and heard. And mm-hmm. maybe you understand us maybe a little bit more too. This isn't hopefully too discouraging for you. And if it is, maybe unpack that a little bit and talk to somebody mm-hmm. you trust why this is so discouraging for you. Maybe this will help start that process for you. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's our week. That's our struggles of the week, I guess, right?
This week.
For this week. Yeah. We hope everybody has a great day. We will see you next week. And yeah, keep moving on. We're going to be okay.
Keep on keeping on. And find us on Instagram at Moms.Autism and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts. And if you would, leave us a review so that we can reach more moms and we can have more talks about all the struggles and our self-awareness and becoming curmudgeonly, because that's important.
Can you spell curmudgeon?
I can Google curmudgeon.
Yeah, same. All right. We're going to learn a new word today. See you, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Bye, guys.